All right, let me jump on in here to the opening monologue, The Right Side Way. And I'll start by just referencing a classic movie from 1994. Classic. With one of my favorite actors, Morgan Freeman. And you may have already guessed now what the movie is. The Shawshank Redemption. It's a drama about a man who was wrongfully incarcerated, how he found something to focus on, something that actually took years to accomplish, something that he worked on and slaved over, and by staying focused, he kept his hopes alive. Tim Robbins played the main character named Andy Dufresne, and his best friend Red was played by Freeman. There's a scene where Andy and Red are sitting on the ground leaning back against the prison wall out in the yard. Andy was quietly and methodically working every night on his escape plan. Without telling Red the details of the plan, he just simply said that it all came down to one thing. He said, "I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living or get busy dying." It's true. We can sit on our laurels, we can grieve that the world is passing us by, or we can get on our feet and get busy. I'll give you one more quote kind of like that one before I move on. There's a TV show that Charlene and I really enjoy, Chicago Fire. It's filled with leadership and service and loyalty. One of the main characters is a tough old fire chief named Chief Bowden, played by Eamon Walker. In a recent episode, Chief Bowden was warned that he might want to back off of something that he was pursuing. His response was, "It's better to die on your feet than to live on your knees." You see where I'm going here? Yeah, the world's crazy right now. I don't know what the end times look like, but I suspect they look a lot like this. Wars and rumors of war, cultural rot, diseases. Okay, but if you read the scriptures, God never takes his hands off his people, and his people never quit. When times are hard, that's when you make a choice. You get busy living, or you get busy dying. A couple of years ago, I met an older gentleman, a 91-year-old Navy veteran, just salt of the earth. He told me he doesn't really recognize our country in many ways. He can't believe some of what's happening in our culture. He also said he was intent on living two more years so he can vote for a different president. I told him I agreed, and I believe he'll make it to the next election just fine. And it got me to thinking, though. I would bet that every generation that's gone before us has felt like the next generation was watering things down or missing the mark or making too many changes, and I tend to agree with that. The amount of change, though, sometimes for the sake of change, has been amazing lately and certainly not all for the better. I mean, just in my lifetime. Examining the current state of affairs, I feel as if the past 4 years have been one societal upheaval after another. And certainly, as a conservative, my view and the view of many others is that the level and pace of change has not resulted in a large number of positives. I feel like we're hurting in many ways. In the middle of it all, though, like I said earlier, God is still on his throne. So how do I look the world in the eye and get to my feet and get busy living? What is the American dream? Is it still out there? Again, a couple of years ago, I ran across a great story about doing just that. A story from a small town restaurant called Uncle Matteo's Pizza in Minot, South Dakota. A young guy named Sebastian Gutierrez stood out in a big way. The owner of the store, Lawson Leonard, he had hired the guy to work in the pizza kitchen. 6'6", 308 pounds, making pizza. He'd been recruited, Sebastian had, to play ball at Minot State as an offensive lineman. He also discovered Sebastian was working towards, the boss did, working towards a career in the NFL. In the meantime, just making pizzas. Leonard said, he's like, "You're my favorite pizza place, so I might as well get a job here." So that's what happened. And he worked for us, he said, 2 or 3 days a week whenever he could. And the rest of the time, he was training. So yeah, Gutierrez worked and trained and trained and worked. He got busy living because he had something to focus on. Minot State's not a big school with a lot of notoriety. But he made it to the NFL Combine. He was first waived by the Denver Broncos, but then came the day he was signed by the New England Patriots. So I checked back on him recently. Turns out he bounced a bit from team to team, but he has now settled into a contract with the San Francisco 49ers. He got busy living, and the big kid from the small school made it all the way to the NFL. That's just a cool story. But you know, there's a liberal mantra out there right now that says the American dream is gone. That our nation is only for the privileged, for the rich, or the racial demographics that are just certain in their key. And that systematically, our nation has somehow made it unrealistic for some to rise because all power is vested in a few. That somehow the ability to rise up and achieve success or to accumulate wealth or to be fulfilled has somehow been stymied, and therefore the few must pay their fair share. So an equitable distribution may be made to those who don't have their own fair share. They call it equity. But equity was never the root basis for the American dream. Equity is the notion you don't have to get busy living. Equity says you can just hunker down, wallow around in your concerns, and hope somebody, someday, somebody will give you the American dream. That's not the way it works. The actual phrase American dream is said to have been coined by a historian named James Truslow Adams in the first half of the 20th century in his book, an epic book called The Epic of America. Adams said the American dream, that dream of a land in which life should be better and richer and fuller for every man with opportunity for each according to his ability or achievement, it is not a dream of motor cars and high wages merely, but a dream of social order in which each man and each woman shall be able to attain to the fullest stature of which they are innately capable and be recognized by others for what they are, regardless of their fortuitous circumstances regarding birth or position. He just described the idea that America is a place where anything can happen. In America, unlike the rest of the world, you can actually choose to get busy living. Not every country allows that. But America, you can still choose to get busy living. Ronald Reagan once said, "The American dream is not that every man must be level with every other man. The American dream is that every man must be free to become whatever God intends he should become." I've also seen the American dream defined as, quote, "the belief that anyone, regardless of where they were born or what class they were born into, can attain their own version of success in a society in which upward mobility is possible for everyone." And yes, we know there have been struggles for it. Struggles not to create equity, as liberals would try to persuade us, but rather struggles to remove the barriers that were put in place to prevent the American dream from being attainable. Martin Luther King Jr., in his letter from a Birmingham jail, he didn't call for handouts. He made his plea to simply allow that men and women of any color could pursue life without inhibition. King said at one point, "We will win our freedom because the sacred heritage of our nation and the eternal will of God are embodied in our echoing demands. When these disinherited children of God sat down at lunch counters, they were in reality standing up for what is best in the American dream and for the most sacred values in our Judeo-Christian heritage. Thereby," he said, "bringing our nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the founding fathers in their formulation of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence." What a great quote. The idea that sitting down, they were standing up. People who got busy living refused to get busy dying. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees. So back to our current state of affairs. Given all the upheaval in America and around the world, do we have that now? Is it still possible to get busy living, to pursue the American dream? I believe the answer is yes. Yes in all caps. A big fat yes. Is there work to do? Certainly. Every good crop starts with tending the ground and prepping the fields and keeping all the conditions right for growth, right? Same is true for the American dream. If we're going to see the next generation have the ability to succeed and not just strive but actually thrive, then we have to do all that we can to dispel the notions that we must spend ourselves into oblivion, giving so-called equitable shares to those who have been deemed somehow less capable. All you have to do to maintain the American dream is remove obstacles and let them run. Go ask Sebastian Gutierrez. Go ask the people who sat at the lunch counters during Jim Crow. Go ask that 91-year-old veteran who's intent on getting to the next election so he can cast his vote. You stay focused. You stay on your feet. You find your purpose, your mission, and you get busy living or you get busy dying. That's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yep, great quote. I mean, there's a t-shirt and a bumper sticker on that one, I'm saying. But listen, it's an amazing thing to watch people say the American dream is dead, and I'm saying it's not. But they can kill it if we let them. That's why we got to get busy living. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.